Sports, politics, life. Back 9 Development presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Online at back9development.com.
This podcast sort of serves as last call for our Armed Forces Day coming up on Saturday at the Wyandotte County Fairgrounds. We would love to see all of you join us, even if just for a few moments, at some point between 10 and 4 on Saturday for Armed Forces Day, benefiting Friends in Service of Heroes. It's going to be a great day. They're going to have all kinds of great military machines there and the tactical center, and we're going to have service dogs presented to former members of the military, veterans that could use a service dog. We're going to have young people enlisting and signing up and joining our armed forces. It should be a terrific day. We'll have our combat cornhole event, which is a lot of fun. We're going to have actual former drill sergeants there. Coaching isn't the right word. I guess drilling at some of the people playing combat cornhole, it'll be fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a really, really neat event. Last year, over 5,000 people attended Armed Forces Day at Wyandotte County Fairgrounds. 106.5 The Wolf will be there broadcasting live. There's going to be all kinds of things for your kids, for your grandkids, for your family, for your dog. If you want to come join us at the Fan Zone where we're playing combat cornhole, we'll be there. Jessica and I will be there. And we're looking forward to, they're asking me to say a few words on stage at 2 o'clock. I'm not sure exactly what that will be. I'll figure it out when I get there or what I can add to this as I didn't serve. But we'll try to figure that out as we get there. It should be a great day. If you love America, you're looking for something nice to do. The weather looks great. It should be fun on Saturday. Really, anytime between 10 and 4, the combat cornhole you can sign up for beginning at 11. Signups are between 11 and 1. There's no real formal thing to this, but we do have great prizes we'll be giving away for the winners of the cornhole tournament. So if you're good at cornhole or if you're not good at cornhole and you just want to play, come on out, maybe win some cool prizes, have some fun with us to support Friends in Service of Heroes. Cross Kitchens KC is one of our sponsors here at the podcast, and Tim Cross and his family are really all in and all behind this. We appreciate their support helping friendsinserviceofheroes.org. That's friendsinserviceofheroes.org, and we would love to see you on Saturday at the Wyandotte County Fairgrounds between 10 and 4 for Armed Forces Day. Please join us. Well, Patrick Mahomes sends out one tweet, and everybody gets all excited in Kansas City. And here we go again, talking about the possibility of another major sports franchise moving to Kansas City, since it was first announced that then Sprint Center and now T-Mobile Center would be built. The NBA and the NHL have constantly teased Kansas City and used us as a pawn in their game to go to places like Las Vegas, move teams around, get better deals, and have owners make more money. Kansas City's never really come close to landing an NBA or an NHL team. I guess the closest was when Mario Lemieux visited here many, many, many years ago, talking about Pittsburgh and the things going on there. And he would later say, it was real nice to fly in, have a good dinner, and go home, and that's all it was about. Kansas City was never going to get the hockey team. So we got played, but you do that. It's pretty much the situation you're in. And maybe that's what this is again, but maybe this time it's different. And there's definitely a feeling in Kansas City that if Patrick Mahomes is behind something, maybe it's different. That the marketability of a franchise, that the value of a franchise having such a huge superstar, becoming a global superstar on board with such a venture might change the value, the fortunes, or the fate of an NHL franchise. Now, I don't think Patrick Mahomes grew up a big hockey fan. I think he's an amazing sports fan. I think he's like so many of us that have covered sports or followed sports, or even if you have one favorite sport, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, golf, whatever it may be, what we all know and don't speak about enough when we talk with our friends about sports, and we're, you know, talking about this player and the way he plays, what we don't talk about enough is the actual competition, the competitive nature of athletics. Patrick Mahomes, you've seen it, likes to compete. I don't know that I would stand up against Patrick Mahomes playing checkers. I feel like he'd do anything he can to beat you at just about anything. I'll go play him in golf. I've watched his golf game. I'll go play him in golf. I may get beat. He may just overpower the golf course. But if I load him up with a 12-pack of Coors Light, I've seen what happens to his game watching on live national television when he starts pounding Coors Lights. So I'll go play golf with Patrick Mahomes. doesn't seem to be quite as competitive in that, although he was more competitive than the other quarterbacks in that thing. He has tweeted out for everyone to see as the, I'll get to the Arizona Coyotes, the Phoenix Coyotes in just a moment. Quote, Kansas City Coyotes has a nice ring to it. At NHL, what y'all think? That's what he tweeted out. Now, obviously, Kansas City has a great hockey arena sitting there. There are premium dates available. There are obviously concerts and a lot of cool things at T-Mobile Center, but there is no base franchise. There's no, when AEG built the thing, they own sports teams in Los Angeles, and they said, look, we have an in. We could get an anchor franchise. They quickly learned that it was much better to have Sprint Center sitting there getting marquee, all the marquee dates for their concerts that they put on and promote, basically as the owner of a concert venue, than it would be to share 40, 50, 60 nights a year or something with a franchise, a hockey or a basketball team. They quickly learned it was more profitable to do it that way without a team. For Kansas City, that's not the bill of goods we were sold. We were sold that you build this thing, Kansas City's a major league city, you should get an NBA or an NHL team. Well, I knew at the time, and I stood completely and firmly behind the new arena. I think it's been great. On a scale of 1 to 10, that arena for Kansas City has been an 8. But it never reached 10 because we don't have an anchor tenant. The question is, does Patrick Mahomes change things? He cannot buy the Coyotes. He doesn't have enough money. But he can get into a group substantially and put people together and do this. So here's the background on the Coyotes. They are not long for Phoenix. They are playing in a 4,600-seat arena on the campus of Arizona State University this next year that the hockey team at Arizona State plays in. They used to play in the Glendale Arena, which is very nice. I don't even know the background of what happened in Glendale. People didn't go, whatever. There is the arena where the Suns play downtown, which was formerly called Talking Stick Arena. I don't know what the moniker is on it now. And it's a wonderful downtown arena where the Suns play. But the Coyotes would have second preference over all dates there, and it doesn't work out for them to play there because the Suns have that. So nothing's worked out in Arizona. They put on the ballot, and this is very interesting when we talk about the Royals building a new downtown stadium. And I've said repeatedly, a lot of people thought that this stadium was going to be built in time for the World Cup. And I laugh at that because I don't know how the Royals are going to pass anything. And it has nothing to do with their win-loss record. It has to do with America right now, today, and Joe Biden. This is the world we live in. The Arizona Coyotes, the Phoenix Coyotes, who are owned by Alex Marullo, the only Hispanic owner in the NHL, made his money in the food business, casinos, banking. He's got a net worth of $2 billion. So he's not even close to worth what, let's say, Clark Hunt is worth. Not even close. He's a Cuban-American. He owns 95% of this franchise. He bought it in 2019 for around $300 million and has been bleeding money since then. This is just losing money right and left for Alex Marullo. And they're going to apparently play one more year out there trying to get a vote passed. They want to build a new arena in Tempe, which is a great place to build it. Tempe's really close to the airport. Arizona State's there. It's got easy access to Chandler, Mesa, Scottsdale, where a lot of fans would come from. It is east of the center of Phoenix. The Royals are out west. Out west is more open spaces. It's agriculture. This is a great location for a hockey team. If he could build an arena on the, you can call it a river, I don't know exactly what it is, the waterway in Arizona. If you could build that in Tempe, you've probably done a great thing for your hockey team. So here's what Alex Marullo offered up for the people to vote on. And they voted on this 48 hours ago, Tuesday, which is why Patrick Mahomes tweeted, this vote failed. Marullo proposed a $2.1 billion arena and entertainment area around the arena. Okay, does that sound like what the Royals want to do? Of course it does. $1.9 billion of this would be private funds. Marullo has people put together in his real estate banking group and whatever he has to build this thing and have commercial properties and obviously restaurants and whatever around it, own and operate this thing. They're in for $1.9 billion, and he was asking for just $200 million to go in with this. And the vote failed. Now, this is why I love doing this podcast. This is everything that I like talking about. It is sports, it is politics, it is life, It is all right here in one story. This is nothing more than a reflection of America right now under Joe Biden saying, hell no, y'all ain't getting anything. I'm stressed the way it is. My money doesn't go as far as it did. This ain't working out for me. In the case of Tempe, Arizona, or the Phoenix area, we got illegals pouring in everywhere. I'm telling you, I believe my son. He says Arizona is not purple, that there is something ridiculous going on in Arizona with the voting, and he doesn't know anybody that's a liberal. Like, he doesn't know anybody. And his fiance is a teacher, and she works with other teachers, and they don't seem to know anybody. This is crazy what's going on out there. This thing was shut down because of the same things you and I are frustrated with. He was going to put in $1.9 billion, and he's asking for $200 in public funding. And they said, hell no. Nobody gets anything and likes it. That sounds conservative to me. This vote didn't have a bunch of tampering and stuffing. We know the mood of the American people. The Royals should be taking notice of this. The Coyotes in the NHL have $1.9 billion of their own, asked for $200 million, and the public flipped them the middle finger and said, nope, we're not giving you anything, and you're going to like it. Man, I'm beginning to think the Royals may just want to put everything on a shelf and wait until after the 24 election. Because if inflation doesn't come down, if interest rates aren't lowered, if the economy isn't better, if the stock market doesn't perform better, people are not going to vote yes. You can't expect the people living off of government handouts to reliably go to the polls and vote for a sports franchise to get public money. You can't. Because even in the back of their mind, what are they thinking? If I vote yes to give all this money to my sports team, they might cut my money off. Right? That's literally who they're hoping goes and votes for them, is the people that love government and love taxing and spending. And there are people that's their issue, and they're on the good side of it. If you're not working and you're not contributing and you're not paying taxes, but you're getting money from the government, all right, there are people that's how they vote. I don't blame them. That's their life. They're not contributing. They're sucking off the, you know, that's who they are. I'm not saying it's crime. I don't respect it in many cases. I respect it in the elderly, especially those that have worked their whole lives to get to a retirement age and live a better life in their retirement where they're not grinding away every day. I respect all of that. I have no problem with that. Really don't have much of a problem with Social Security. I wish it were structured differently to where people could invest their Social Security funds on their own instead of just throwing in the kitty to get wasted. It would be nice if there was some sort of a function where at least a piece of that would be privately invested by anyone who contributes to it, so it's sitting there for them at the end, and then the government wouldn't have to pay it out. It would just be there for them. That's taking away freedoms. That's taking money from people saying, we know better to do with it than you do. I know it gets controversial to discuss that, but it's probably the right thing to do for most Americans, to be honest, because most Americans aren't very good with money. But they voted this down, so the Coyotes are stuck, and they're looking at playing in a 4,600-seat hockey arena on the campus of Arizona State this year. They're out of Glendale. They can't play downtown. They're bleeding money. They can't make any money. Houston and Salt Lake City are the front runners. If the Coyotes are moving, Kansas City's behind Houston and Salt Lake City. So just know that coming in. Houston is a massive market. Salt Lake City only has the one pro sports franchise. There's more competition in Kansas City for the Coyotes in a smaller city than there would be in Houston, or more teams than there are in Salt Lake City. So it won't be easy. But what if, since Patrick Mahomes put this out there, what if Mahomes goes to his owner, Clark Hunt, and says, let's put it together. Clark Hunt has the wherewithal to do it. There's no question. What we're talking about in order to get it to Kansas City is not talking Alex Marullo, who's got a bad business plan. All right, he's a Cuban-American. I respect him. He's been great at everything that he's done. But every business he's been in has been built upon the premise of Hispanic customers. He started first with a pizza chain that made pizza for Hispanics, essentially, with a Cuban flair and things of that nature. He's branched out into real estate properties and holdings that he has developed for the Hispanic community. Most of everything, his casinos, his hotels, the things that he's been involved in have targeted Hispanic Americans or Hispanics. Great. I'm not knocking that in any way. Then he got into hockey and tried to, because he's in Phoenix, tried to market that to Hispanics, and that didn't fly. That ain't working. The Coyotes are the dead last value in the NHL. For example, the Blues, who are a huge part of St. Louis, are, I say only, they're only worth $880 million. This man bought the Coyotes in 2019 for $300 million. Some people believe it could be bought for $450 million. $450 million isn't that much. There are what? Five owners of the Chiefs? The widow is still alive. She has 20%, and each of the four kids has 20%. I think that's right. So what if you add Patrick Mahomes to that group, and he becomes a sixth, and you all split it up to $450 million, and the Hunt Sports Groups owns the Coyotes in Kansas City? That would work. That would work. They'd have the money behind it. They'd have the city. There's anything they want in this town, people would be on board with. And there is no vote. There is no arena to build. There's nothing for the public to do. It's fantastic. You've done something great for Kansas City. I won't say no, because Patrick Mahomes has so much clout, not only in this city. I think somebody put on Twitter, last times Mahomes, you know, he's talking about ketchup. He said, last times Mahomes tweeted something like this, we wound up with a Whataburger on every corner. And that's true. He tweeted about the ketchup that he loved at Whataburger, and now we have like 50 Whataburgers around town. And they all have long lines for whatever reason. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with Whataburger. It's insane to watch it. To see the long lines at Whataburger blows my mind. There's 10 better burgers that you can drive through and get in Kansas City. They're fine. There's nothing wrong with Whataburger. You folks are doing a great job. I got nothing against Whataburger. There's just better food than that. It's good. It's fine. But my goodness, they're killing it. There's lines at lunch hours. It's crazy. Oh, Mahomes owns those. Let's go in there. I'm telling you, it works. It absolutely works. These little pieces of the ladies' soccer team and the little pieces of the Royals, that doesn't do it. But if Mahomes is seen as being a guy that put together an investment group, and what if Mahomes called LeBron James? What if he called Wayne Gretzky? What if he started calling around to really, really high profile? What about Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning wants to own a franchise. Tom Brady. What if he starts calling around to these people? What if he just raised $500 million from nothing but massively famous athletes? And it would be the first thing of its kind. And they all, four, five, six times a year, came in and watched hockey games, and it became that team. It's right in the middle of the country. It'd be easy to get there. I mean, there's a million ways you could do this. The NHL would love that, wouldn't they? Here's what I don't do. I don't discount anything that Patrick Mahomes is talking about, ever. I think that's bad business in Kansas City to even think like that, to discount it. So we will see what happens. I don't think the tweet was completely random. I think he'd love to do something like that. He has already stated that after football, he wants to be a team owner. That's what he wants to do. He would love to own an NFL team, but if it's not that, maybe it's NHL. Don't know. KKHI is brought to you by Back 9 Development, online at back9development.com, your custom home builder. Hey, they do commercial properties as well. Here's the thing with TJ. He basically takes your land, your dream, your project, and executes it for you, start to finish. You say, here's what I'm thinking, and he makes it happen in the most professional, simplest way for you. You're going to love the process. You hear people that build homes and say, oh boy, it was tough. No, not with TJ. You're going to say, I loved every minute of it. He's really, really, really strong. He's just a good, strong man who takes care of all the little things. TJ Vilkanskas at Back 9 Development would love to work with you on your project. Give him a call, set up a meeting, go for lunch, see if you kind of hit it off and maybe have something in common. 785-236-0161. It's TJ Vilkanskas at back9development.com. Window World, simply the best for less. If you're looking for those new windows, siding, doors on your home, free analysis and estimate available right now by calling 816 799-0820. This is not a sales pitch. Here's my promise to you. If you're looking for windows, if you need windows, and you call Window World, they are not going to put any high pressure on you. They're going to explain what they have. They're going to look at what you have. They're going to draw it up, send you an offer, and they're not going to push you. It's going to be up to you. I love that about them. That's how they win the J.D. Power and Associates Award for Customer Satisfaction. They also do the job beautifully. Lifetime warranty, 0% interest, American-made, official windows of the Chiefs. What else is there? WindowWorld.com. Amini's Galleria at 105th and Metcalf. This weekend, get to Amini's and check out their outstanding selection of outdoor patio furniture. I've talked a lot about the O.W. Lee line, which they have some in stock, but the bar stools that we got, we ordered. We're going to wait a few weeks on them. That's okay. It's worth it, in my opinion, because it's just such quality furniture, and Jessica got to pick out exactly the fabric she wanted. They gave us books and books and books of patterns and fabrics, hundreds. She got to pick the exact one she wanted, and they're making it. That's the way we chose to go. If you need patio furniture today, they have that as well. They have all kinds of lines in stock, ready to go, at Amini's, 105th and Metcalf. Don't forget about the Golden Tee machines, pool tables, shuffleboard. My shuffleboard table in my man cave is from Amini's. They've done a great job and done right by me at every turn. Love these guys. Also in St. Louis, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City, online at aminis.com, aminis.com, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Oh, this is great. This is from the golf world. We're going to have a little fun here as we continue along in sports. We'll say we started with sports today. There's some heavy news coming, but we're saying we started with sports today. I got to play this for you. Jessica didn't believe me until I played it for you. I said, you hear about Dustin Johnson, the golfer? He's at the PGA this week at Oak Hill in Rochester, New York. He'd had a bad back and wasn't playing very well for several weeks. And somebody finally asked him at the PGA this week. He had a little news conference. They said, what was the back injury? I'm going to play it for you. What was it? I said, Jessica, this is unbelievable. Dude hurt his back. Look, Dustin Johnson is married to Wayne Gretzky's daughter, Paulina Gretzky. She's a model. She's been, most dudes listening to this podcast know who Paulina Gretzky is. They've settled down. They used to be wild. They have kids. They're better. But they're just as happily married as anybody could ever be. And Dustin Johnson is close to Wayne Gretzky, and the family seems very close. They're always vacationing together, playing golf together, it looks like a great family. Dustin Johnson, I'll just tell you what this is, and then you can listen to the clip or you can watch it on Twitter and judge for yourself. I have no doubt. I'm 99% sure that's what this is. Dustin Johnson hurt his back having sex with his wife. I don't know how else to say it. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
What'd you do to your back? What is it?
I just pulled a muscle. Lower back.
Swinging a club or lifting up a kid?
Yeah, lifting up a kid. Just a bigger kid.
Microphone five. I'm done.
I don't know how to. Hi, Dustin.
Yeah, nothing much for me to add there. They all had a good laugh. That's that. He was picking up one of the kids, one of the bigger kids. He was picking up and hurt his back. Dustin Johnson, one of the favorites. He just won last week in LIV Golf. That is a much better way, in my opinion, to injure your back than the two that come to mind, the two most famous injuries in Kansas City sports that come to mind that were non-sports injuries were George Brett in the 80s when Cubs games were first televised on WGN in the afternoon, the Royals would play night games. And George Brett was a huge fan of Bill Buckner and the way he hit. George Brett was doing laundry one day at home before he'd gone to the ballpark that night. The Cubs were on. He could hear the announcer say, now Buckner steps to the plate. And George Brett was doing laundry. And he went running to the TV because he wanted to watch the at-bat. And when he did, he hurt himself. I don't remember, was it an ankle or a toe or something like that? But it was pretty serious. He missed several games. Doing laundry, running to the TV to watch Bill Buckner hit. He got hurt. Which I believed. I completely believed that one because that just sounds like George. Now, the Salvador Perez one, I don't know. This one doesn't sound the same. But if you recall, a few years ago, Salvador Perez left spring training, came home, got to Kansas City for opening day, and got hurt apparently when he was carrying all his luggage in and tried to lug too much of it up the stairs. at one time. Like, he wasn't carrying one suitcase. He had too much luggage at once, and they say he strained something or got hurt while he was moving his luggage in after spring training. That one doesn't sound exactly right to me, but it is possible. There's no question you can hurt yourself carrying too much luggage, even if you're Salvador Perez. Maybe he tripped and fell, whatever happened. I just remember at the time thinking, that sounds like an excuse for something else that happened that they don't want to say. The George Brett one, that doesn't sound like an excuse. I mean, you're not, you can't, if you hurt yourself doing something bad, you got to really think about what your excuse is going to be to say. Specifically, I was doing laundry, and I think he lived in a rented house or something at the time and was like downstairs. And, you know, it was probably like the house I grew up in. He's going upstairs with very little clearance above your head, wooden steps going up from the laundry room out to the living room where Bill Buckner is on TV, and he's running and trips, and I could totally see that. And I just don't think you'd, I don't think anybody would have that good of a story to make that up. Carrying luggage, pretty generic. Still, Dustin Johnson's got the all-timer. If his back injury was that, my phone was blowing up yesterday when that thing happened. All my buddies were like, well, now this is the way to get hurt. Indeed. Tiger Woods has famously been hurt. He got a 9-iron swung at him one time by his wife. He crashed his car and crushed his legs. He's had a lot of injuries. He had back injuries and surgeries, but he is not getting injured from his former girlfriend. Erica Herman took Tiger Woods to court, suing for millions of dollars, saying the non-disclosure agreement that she had with Tiger Woods is not valid, and it had been violated because he had sexually harassed her and done all this other stuff. Look, Tiger Woods is scummy in this deal. The way he broke up with her was the worst ever. It was the worst ever. He had his people, his agents, and a driver call her and tell her to pack a bag that they're going somewhere for the weekend. She packed her things. She got in the car, and they drove her to a hotel and gave her a key and said, we're changing the locks on the house. You're out. I mean, that's as bad as it gets. That's as bad as it gets. Tiger, that's terrible. You should have broken up yourself. Anyway, so of course she's pissed, and she files this suit. And a judge is basically throwing it out now in Florida. The non-disclosure agreement must abide. She must abide by that, the judge has ruled. And then said, the allegations of sexual harassment by Tiger were vague and threadbare. Went on to say that Erica Herman, quote, had the opportunity to provide specifics and has not done so, unquote. So that's that. I don't know. Tiger just, I don't know what she got. I don't know how much she walks away with. I don't know what her future is. She lived with you for several years. Do right by her in some way, whatever that may be, whether that's buying her a house or whatever. Just do something right by her and just make it go away. It's weird because Tiger now just doesn't care that the public sees everything, which is a whole new deal because he used to be so private. The Los Angeles Dodgers did the right thing. Los Angeles Dodgers have a pride night coming up in June. Most teams do. And they allow different groups of people within the group to come that night and get listed somehow. So if I had a group called Kevin's Cool Club, which is me and my partner and all of our friends, and we want to be part of Pride Night, specifically recognized, we can do that. It's part of Pride Night. So the Dodgers were allowing a group of people within the group called Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to take part. Well, you should be able to tell by the name that this thing is tongue-in-cheek, comical, making fun of something and not very serious. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are men, gay men, dressed as nuns with face paint on that mostly kind of look like clowns. They look outrageous. They look outrageous. They are gay men dressing up as nuns to make fun of Catholics who are anti-gay. This is Halloween. This is not Pride Night. It's Halloween with an insult. It is the people who most want acceptance, the people who most want inclusion, excluding millions of Americans, and being as bigoted and awful against them as they could possibly be. This would be like Catholics going to their chili feed on Saturday dressed up as gay men making fun of them. Can you imagine? Exactly. So the Catholic organization in Southern California filed a complaint with the Dodgers, and the Dodgers have seen fit to this. They've seen pictures, and they now know what the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence are about, and they've said, you're right, Catholics. They will not be allowed here as part of our Pride Night. The Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence will be stopped at the gate. We are not allowing them, and we are not recognizing them. They're basically a hate group. This is the first thing I can remember where a team stepped up and said, we see people within the LGBT Pride community that are hateful, spiteful, bigoted, and awful. You people are terrible. What you're doing has nothing to do with inclusion or acceptance within your community. You're taking your night, your platform, to attack other people. And that ain't going to happen at Dodger Stadium. Good for the dang Dodgers. Way to go. That's pretty strong. Advantage Termite and Pest Control is your pest control company. Make the switch now. Many of you have, and you've emailed me and said, you're right, Kev, they're the best. Their technicians are awesome. Their service is great, and you've had them out. Just get on the annual program, and you'll mostly never see them. Almost all the work's done on the outside. If you ever have anything on the inside, if you're part of the program, they just come do it. There's no invoice left behind. Hey, you know, you had that. No. They just come take care of it. They also have a wildlife division if you got critters. Advantage Termite and Pest Control, residential or business, AdvantageTPC.com. Buck Roofing and Construction is the only roofer you should consider. You can take bids elsewhere. He's going to beat them, and he's going to give you the best service. He's going to take care of your shrubs, your property, your lawn. When they do a roof, they take care of everything around. They're really, really professional. Sometimes you just need a small repair. Sometimes you're just like, I don't know what my roof looks like, and you need an inspection. He'll do it absolutely free. Call 913-384-2680. That's 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And Advanced Medical Imaging, online at medimageks.com. This is very important. If you're 40 or older, get that heart scan. They're going to see all the organs in your torso. They're going to send it to your doctor. They also have, in the same building, they have a medical practice there. If you're looking for a new doctor or an MD, you can certainly sign up with one of them, and then it's all in one place. The imaging, the plaque score, the chest scan, all of those things would be right there with your doctor. If you'd like to schedule a physical, you can do it all online at medimageks.com. Guys, you should be getting a physical once a year. You should, and you know you don't. You know you don't, and you should. MedimageKS.com. Great folks. All right, on to the hard stuff. The FBI is in the crosshairs right now. There's hearings going on Capitol Hill on this Thursday. It is the Weaponization Subcommittee looking at the FBI and all the things that they have done wrong. And the things that they have done wrong are substantial. So there's a couple layers to this. The whistleblowers are on the stand today. Steve Friend and Marcus Allen are on the stand, and Jim Jordan and his team are interviewing them about what they saw at the FBI and how the FBI has covered up things for political purposes. How they have shifted their investigation to help the left, and just like the media, again, this is the most important thing going on in America. Just like the media. The FBI, it sounds like, does the exact same thing the media do. I'm not an FBI expert. I am a media expert, and I know what they do. It's what they leave out of stories that's the most important part. And it sounds like the FBI is more than happy to leave out the stuff that does not go toward the way they want the investigation to go. In other words, they're not investigating to see where it goes. They're going left and trying to find everything that keeps them going left and ignoring anything that would pull them back to the middle. That's what the FBI is doing. That's what the whistleblowers are saying. That sounds right because that works. That works. We know this because Peter Strzok basically opened the investigation into Donald Trump and the Russia collusion before he even contacted any of the so-called people that had information. He just got something dropped on his desk. He goes, great, I'm opening this up. We're not going to make calls and talk to people to see if any of this is true. We're just going to go with it, start moving it left for Hillary Clinton, and ignore anything that comes from the right. That's what they did. That's beyond a shadow of a doubt. I don't know what happens with this, with these whistleblowers. I think, for the most part, a lot of this is just staging stuff. We know that the impeachment of Trump was a staged piece of garbage. There are Representative Luna from Texas has filed a motion for expulsion for Adam Schiff from Congress that was basically treasonous what he did through the impeachment of Donald Trump, that he never, never had any evidence and dragged the entire country through this. She thinks he should go to jail for the money that he spent, that is our money, in something that was completely fraudulent and fake, which we now know was completely fraudulent and fake. You can't defend it. Even if you're on the left, they're not really trying to defend it. They're like, well, all signs pointed to this, and there was this, and now, of course, the Durham report is... They say that, but again, just if one person, like Adam Schiff, if he could just walk to the microphone and say, here's what Trump did with Putin and Russia collusion, just name it. It's been years now. If you're trying to defend your position on the left, please step up to the microphone and tell America exactly what Trump did. Because he did nothing. It was completely made up. I've said this a million times. I give Trump a lot of credit for a lot of things. He's just not smart enough to be the kind of guy that, oh, I'm going to run for president, and for years beforehand, I'm going to get with Putin and orchestrate this deal where Russia is going to infiltrate our elections and rig it for me. That's just not Trump. I just don't think he's that thorough. I think Trump is a one-day-at-a-time guy. I think he's like, okay, what's my meeting today? Let's negotiate this thing. Let's get this done. Let's move on and do the next thing. I don't think he's some sort of a long-game guy. I've never seen Trump as a long gamer. Have you? Does he strike you as the kind of guy that would like plot for 6 years how he's going to become president? Or does he strike you as a guy that maybe about 3 weeks before he went down that escalator said, oh, hell yes, I'm running. I can't take it anymore. I'm going to run. Let's just see where it goes. He thought about it for years, but didn't plan anything. He just came down the escalator, immediately pissed everybody off by saying that there are rapists and murderers coming across the border. They were literally accusing Trump of something that he isn't capable of doing, I guess is my point. I know this because I'm the same way. Now, I'm like a, you know, I've always described what I do for a living as being like a cornerback in the NFL. Cornerbacks are play-by-play. One play, you got to forget about it. I've done a broadcast every day for 37 years, and it's gone. I don't ever really think about any of the other broadcasts I've ever done, and I'm not thinking about tomorrow's. It's today. That's it. I just live in today. Today's podcast is today's podcast. That's it. I think Trump's the same way, and I think what they accuse him of is ridiculous. I don't know what's going to happen with Adam Schiff. He's trying to defend himself. There's no defense of this. Nothing's going to happen. I don't think they're going to... I'm just not very optimistic anything good is going to happen here. But it is fun to watch the whistleblowers talk about the FBI, and shining a light on this, you would think, would change the FBI and some of the oversight within the organization. You would hope that they're getting embarrassed by this. You would hope. There's no embarrassment or shame in Ron DeSantis. He is on to run for president. Apparently next week is going to be the day that he announces it. They got to change some of the rules in Florida. They've been doing that. They've gotten that done. They've cleared the path for him to run for president and remain on as governor of Florida. So when Trump wins the primaries, he can go back to being Florida governor. Ron DeSantis raised a record amount of money for a governor in a campaign last year. He has $110 million cash on hand right now, and he hasn't really even started in fundraising. His super PAC is called Never Back Down, if you want to contribute. I like the slogan Never Back Down, but it is problematic, and here's why. Especially when you're not the front runner. He got a lot of wood to chop to beat Trump in the primary. He's got a lot of wood to chop. And if he doesn't chop that wood and he finishes second, he has to back down. And his slogan is never back down. Right? Conceding something, which at some point it's likely he'll do to Trump. Conceding to Trump is backing down. You know, maybe never back down means he's going to run as a third party candidate. If he does, we're beat. I don't think that's going to happen. I'm rooting for Joe Manchin to get in as a third-party candidate. I hope Robert F. Kennedy Jr., if Biden doesn't debate him, I would love to see Kennedy branch off and say, I'm running as a third candidate. If dude just got 5% of the vote, it's over. The Republicans win. Period. Just old-school people that have voted for Democrat forever. I've got one particular friend of mine. I'm not going to give his name. He votes for Democrats. He was in a union. He's just been a Democrat guy. He doesn't like a lot of the stuff they're doing, but he just can't change because he's always been told, hate the Republicans. So he can't change. But if Kennedy was out there as a third candidate, I think he'd pull the lever over Biden. I do. And this person is old enough to remember John Kennedy. And that matters. So I'm hoping for a third candidate on the left. Then it doesn't matter who the heck is running. We're in. That'd be great. But DeSantis is going to do this, and he's got a whole bunch of cash on hand, and it is go time. It is not go time in Ukraine. We have stories out of the New York Times and the Washington Post that the Ukraine had been planning an advance on Russian troops, that the U.S. has been pushing Ukraine, advance, advance, advance. We're sending you this stuff. Stop retreating. Go forward. Go. Go fight. That's the word around the world in all kinds of media outlets. The word in the United States is, from the New York Times and Washington Post, the great Ukrainian forces are marching and going forward in Donbass, and they've put on an offensive, and they have moved forward against the Russians. And they were all written up pie in the sky like they're gaining ground. According to European media, on May 12th, that was last Friday, this offense was launched where they were going to try to go forward with Ukrainian troops, and 1,725 Ukrainian men were killed, slaughtered. They started to advance on the Russians and just got slaughtered. Entire regiment wiped out. Retreat it is. This needs to be negotiated. That is not the largest number in the world. We've heard of all kinds of really tragic things. But I can't get out of my head, what the heck is the point of this war? And if you're a young Ukrainian man, I know you love your country. Can you imagine in this day and age? Now, I'm older, so I'm wiser. Maybe young people don't think like this, or you know, there's no rationale. They just want to go fight. You're just marching to your death. These young men in Ukraine, they tell you to go forward. You're just walking into your death. We saw it in World War I. We've seen this. It's the worst. This is a brutal, awful war. And when Ukraine tries to go forward, it's suicide. I just don't get it, man. Can we all not just be a little more grown up than this and figure this out? There has to be these people, these are kids. Come on, we know these guys. I'll bet you there's 16-year-olds out there fighting. This is so bad, so tragic, and it doesn't get reported in this country. You got to get to some of the European sources to read this information. Really is sad. Big Slick is coming to Kansas City, and I bring this up because I'm going to mention a couple of people in politics here. Jake Tapper is going to be part of Big Slick, so you know. And look, Ted Lasso, Jason Sudeikis. Sudeikis seems to be the biggest driving force now behind Big Slick, and that's okay. And I think he's a good man, and I think in a lot of ways he tries to be not political, but he's in Hollywood, and he's around these people, and so it always is. Big Slick is becoming 85% liberal and 15% conservative. I think Eric Stone Street's probably conservative. There's probably a couple more. They don't wear it on their sleeves. They're not going to do it. But Stone Street bought some land. He lives out on a ranch or a farm somewhere between Kansas City and St. Joe now. Like, he's just like on the land with cows and horses and chickens and stuff. Good for him. But when you invite Jake Tapper to be a celebrity at your charity event, you're pretty much wearing it on your sleeve now who you are and what you're about. I just thought you should know that. I like this charity. My daughter works at Children's Mercy. It benefits the hospital. It's all great. Big Slick is fun. People love celebrities. Jake Tapper's not a celebrity. Jake Tapper's wife is from St. Joe, so they use this as a reason to come home, and she gets to visit her family and high school friends and all this other stuff. Jake Tapper's not a celebrity. Jake Tapper is a no-talent leftist. Now, that doesn't make him a bad guy, and I'm not saying he's dumb. I'll give him all the credit in the world for working his butt off or doing whatever he had to do to get where he is, because it is remarkable it's where he is. So I don't have the greatest voice in the world, but I don't talk nasally up here through my nose and have this little scowl on my face when I talk and say, Donald Trump is the worst person on earth. Jake Tapper is not a broadcaster. He's terrible. In fairness, I'll say the same thing about Sean Hannity. Sean Hannity's conservative as all hell, and he works harder than anybody I've ever seen. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. He's earned every nickel he's gotten. He's been loyal to Fox. He stayed there. He still does radio every day and then does his TV. He's crazy. The guy's a workaholic. He's nuts. He's got hundreds of millions of dollars at this point. And for the life of me, I don't know how. Because if you try to go make some sort of comparison between Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, it's a joke. I mean, it's an absolute joke. I'm talking about the talent level. Not did you get there. Look, Hannity's from New York. He knew people in New York. He got in. He got in Fox News early. He got a little bit lucky. There's a lot of guys at ESPN like this. They were from the New York area. They didn't have jobs elsewhere. They took a chance on a fledgling network called ESPN, and they stayed there, and they wound up doing very well and making a lot of money. There's good fortune in the world. There is. And listen, I'll give Hannity credit. He has said it many times. I've heard him say this. He'll have people on and say, I'm not as talented as you. I'm not as talented as that. I hear him say that. And every time he says it, I'm like, you're right. You're not that talented. But neither is Jake Tapper. Fox is looking for talent. They don't have any. The closest thing they have to talent right now is Jesse Waters. And he's got a drippy, gross arrogance running through him that he thinks is comedic. And sometimes it is kind of funny, but mostly it's real. It's who he is. And there are things that that is astounding that he doesn't know. He couldn't pronounce walleye the other night. He was talking about fishing. Then he insulted every fisherman in America, saying it's boring, it's stupid, it's dumb, I don't fish. He called them wallies. He said, fishing for wallies. And then somebody said in his ear, walleye. He goes, oh, walleye? I mean, the things sometimes that pop out of him that he doesn't know tells me that he's lived in his little bubble his whole life. But I digress. Sometimes I go off on, you know, media types. Just Jake Tapper coming to Big Slick makes me sick. It does. It does. The guy did say last week that the Durham report is, quote, devastating the FBI. It was nice to see him say something honest and true. Very nice, Jake Tapper. But I still can't stand the way you talk through your nose. It's just not hard to fix. It's not physical. Jake Tapper. I had a dude come out and work on my computer this week. I've had some trouble. It's a couple, 2.5 years in. It just needs to be cleaned out, right? It needs a tune-up. So I call this guy, and he comes out, and he's a cool dude. He's got a badass helmet on and kind of long hair and a beard, and he's just a good dude. Pulls up on an Indian motorcycle. My computer guy. His company's called Geeks or Us. His name is Clyde Gooden. Geeks or, O-R, not R, Geeks or, O-R, us.com. He's really good. And I say, man, that bike is so bad. He goes, you want to see it? Come on, sit on. You want to? He's handing me the keys. I'm like, dude, I can't ride. No, that's not something I do. But if I did, it would be that one, I think. Because it's lower to the ground. And he's like, okay. And we start talking and we walk out there and we look at it and he starts it up and it's got this most beautiful sound. And I said to him, how long do you think they can keep that name? He was showing me all the different Indian logos on it all over the place. And he, you know, now I'm starting in on politics, right? And he goes, oh God, I know. And he says, all this crazy stuff going on and they hate that. And I'm like, yes. They took the Indian mascot away from my high school. They're coming after your motorcycle. He wasn't so sure. I said, oh, yeah, they're going to come after it at some point if they keep selling these things. Another corporation, I think Polaris, he said, bought Indian a few years ago, and it's really had a resurgence. Indian motorcycles are doing apparently very well. I just think they're cool. I think it's a great name. Do you think they'll keep the name? When are they coming after Indian motorcycles? To me, I think it's a tribute. I think it's an homage. I always think that when I see things named after Native Americans. I just do. Clyde's a good dude. He's not a sponsor or anything, but I'm going to put him on the KK list. If you want to go to the KK list and check him out, if you need computer work done, just a guy to come to your house or whatever and clean your stuff out, Clyde Gooden's a good dude. You're going to like him. His number is 913-782-1992. I'll put him on the KK list. I like Clyde. I just like interesting people. I like interesting people that are really know who they are and they're sure of themselves. I'm pretty sure he's conservative because we talked about a few things, but it really isn't what you get into with your computer guy. Probably finding the computer nerd to come to your house and getting a conservative badass that drives an Indian motorcycle is really random. But all the same, it's glorious. It was fantastic. It was great having him here. All he really wanted was a Diet Coke. I'm like, you want something to drink? He goes, you got Diet Coke? I said, yes. So let me get you a Diet Coke, man. He was here a couple of times. Because he does this thing that cleans your computer out, and it takes like, one of the things took like 6 hours. So I'm done for the day. He comes late in the day, and he goes, okay, I'll be back tomorrow. This program will be done. I'm not going to sit here and charge you for 6 hours while this does this. I'm like, thank you. So it was doing this thing, and then he came back the next day. It was really a unique experience, and I loved that motorcycle. Our final's coming right up, brought to you by Roberts Robinson, online at robertsrobinson.com, home of the lifetime warranty. Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs, or wherever you live, robertsrobinson.com. Bstock.net, how about this? Chris sends me an email, and he says, we'll deliver anywhere outside the metro area. He's got a lot of listeners in, you know, within 100, 200 miles, 300, whatever. He says, we'll deliver anywhere outside the Kansas City metro just for the fuel cost. He gave me his example. He said, if you buy a TV from us at bstock.net and you live in Hayes, Kansas, it's 518 miles round trip. Our van gets 21 miles per gallon. It's diesel, so it's $4 a gallon. We will charge you $98 to bring the TV to you. To Hayes, Kansas, from Olathe. He says, you want a television, we'll make it happen. We don't care where you live. You need electronics. Right now, we're dealing, and we will make it happen for you. Bstock.net. No matter where you live. Their phone number's on there. Call them and tell them what you want, and they'll have it delivered wherever you live. Bstock's amazing. And so is Amazing Garage Floors. I got another email from a guy yesterday, and he lived in Kearney. And he said, I called Amazing Garage Floor, and I think Heather came out and looked it over and said, this is great. Here's what it will cost. Me and John, our crew, are not going to do the work because this is Kearney. We're going to pass it off to the local guy up here. They work with all the different local garage folks because basically Amazing Garage Floor, to say they're franchised isn't right. It's not proper. But they have branches in Dallas and Atlanta and St. Louis and places like that. But they also have some in the outskirts of Kansas City in smaller areas where they have installers that they've taught how to do it. And what Amazing Garage Floors does is provides them with all of the epoxy and flakes and all the different stuff that they do. So they're all sort of in business together. And he said, okay. So she said, listen, for where you are, we'd have to charge you this much more than if this guy locally does it for you. We'll call him for you. He's going to come do it. And it's going to save you $300 or something like that. And this dude's like, who does that? He sent me an email. He goes, who does that? They passed it off to somebody else and it saved me money. I said, well, they're all sort of in business together. John and Heather are at the top of that food chain at amazinggaragefloors.net. And that's what they're all about. That's just who they are. That's who they are. That's what a lot of our sponsors are. Pretty cool story there. That was in Kearney, I believe. Our final is the gender-neutral bathrooms at KCI. Apparently, they're not very popular. Apparently, nobody really wants to use them. They walk by, and it says all genders, and it has those very green lights and whatever. And people walk past them and go, nope, I'll hold it till I see something else. Because at first, you're confused. You don't know exactly what it is. There's two ways to walk in. You go right or left, and you assume one side is men, one side is women, and they're cut off. But when you see all gender, now what you're thinking is just an open bathroom where anything's game. It is stalls with private doors that you walk in and close it. But you literally, ladies, could be sitting next to a 300-pound man taking the loudest diarrhea dump you've ever heard in your life, and it's going to gross you out. Men are pigs. We've discussed this. Men are gross. Men are pigs. Men don't like to touch the seat. If they'll walk into that stall and put the seat up, maybe. But then the next few guys, it's just, but some guys won't because it's horseshoe shaped. They're like, I can shoot between this. I ain't touching that thing. We've created this. By the way, we've created that in our culture. Don't touch stuff. We've created that over the last 3 years. That's new. Don't touch that. Gross. Don't touch that. I stand firmly with Jessica Keatsman on the all-gender bathrooms. They're disgusting for women. They're gross and disgusting for women. Men are going to pee all over those seats. You know they are. It's gross. Nobody wants them. I'm sorry. A very tiny percentage of people want them. But apparently, according to some group, they've been watching traffic and documenting traffic in and out of the gender bathrooms. And what they've noticed is older white people are the ones that don't use them. Wait, what? You're telling me that you're monitoring who's going in and out of the all-gender bathrooms, and what you're coming forth with is they're not very popular because older and white people pass them by. They look at the sign and walk away. I'm not disputing that's happening, but I don't think it's just older white people. I won't dispute that people are walking past these things at KCI. I'm not disputing that at all. Here's what I will dispute. That somehow you bought a plane ticket, got through security, and sat there and ran a study on who's going in and who's going out. Were you flying that day? Did you watch for 5 minutes? Or did you really stay for like 12 hours? Because how'd you get through security? I call bull on all of it. Now, I can stand there for 5 minutes and see who's going in. I think men are probably going to use it more than women. I'm old-fashioned. It's not that I want to protect women. They don't need protecting. But there's just certain things. That's gross. You got to sit down on that seat that guys have been pissing on. I'm sorry. I showed you a picture from a place in Scottsdale. It's on my Twitter timeline. I've left it there. We were out to eat. They had a little trash can next to the toilet. The guys weren't touching that seat. They were spraying all over the place. And there was urine splatter on top of the trash can lid. You could just see it plain as day. It's gross. It's gross. This whole thing is stupid and gross. It's insane. For what? For 10% of the people to feel included? Okay. We used to have the family restroom. That was fine. Was there ever anyone in the family restroom? I used one when we were flying back from San Jose when I went to Pebble Beach in February. We had an entirely day-long delay. We were there all day, and I had to go. And I'm like, you know what? That looks clean and private and nice. And I walked in. It was bigger than any bathroom I got at home, and I could lock the door, and I'm sitting in there all by myself doing my thing. That was great. That was the family bathroom. Nobody's ever in there. We called it that. Let's come up with a different name. Great. If you don't know what gender you are and you want to use that, go for it. Men, women. We still have the family bathroom. Call it the all-gender bathroom. I don't care. We only need one of those. You only need one toilet for all genders. That's on you, not the rest of us. That's what we do here. Sorry, I'm on a roll this week. I'm on a roll, man. I am feeling it on many fronts. Beautiful day ahead. Another beautiful day ahead. Thank you, as always, for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.